The ushers want to make sure you have a Bible, so if you're in need of a Bible right now, just raise your hand. They'd count it a privilege to pass one over to you. You'll want to have one to see that we're studying the Word together. They also have pencils if you want to keep notes on your bulletin there. But in particular, get a Bible from them, and let's all turn to John chapter 15 as we travel through the Bible together. Lord willing, 6 o'clock tonight, we'll be gathering to continue to go through our study in the book of John. We go verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Come out if you'd like to dig a little deeper, a little fuller meal, so to speak, spiritually speaking. Come out tonight and be a part of it as we travel through this Gospel of John. But this morning we're in John 15. Got a question for you. Where do you live? If I ask that question, where do you live? I suspect I'd get a number of answers. For some of you, you'd say, well, you live right here in El Cajon. Others, you'd say something like maybe Santee or Lakeside or La Mesa. Some of you may be traveling from San Diego. Just all kinds of answers represented amongst us here. And that would be the proper answer to that kind of question if I ask you, where do you live? Because that's how we tend to think. But what I want to ask you is to think about that question a different way. Not just where do you live in terms of the house that your body lives in, but I want you to begin to think more in line of what we're about to read. Where does your heart live? Where do you, the real you, your soul, your spirit, your heart, where does that really dwell? Or in the words of what we're about to look at, where does your heart abide as you go through your day? Oh, I know where your body seeks shelter from storms. It gets in out of the rain. It goes to your literal house, your physical house. But where does your heart seek shelter when it goes through storms? And what do you look to find meaning and purpose in life? And where do you find, if you're finding any at all, where do you find peace? Where do you seek to find the joy that God promises? Where do you really live? That's our question this morning. Hopefully it'll set the table for what we're about to consider. John chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, there's much here. We'll stop right there. That'll give us more than enough to chew on for this morning. The world says, be happy. That's the goal of much of this world. Be happy. Have experiences, go places, do things, be with people that cause you to be or help you maintain happiness. But here we see that Jesus wants us to go beyond happy. In this text, he's pointing to how we can be joyful. There is a world of difference between happy and joyful. But really, by saying that, I've begun at the end. For you see, joy is a fruit. Look at verse 11 again. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and the joy may be full. So that which he's been saying is to have the result of, cause there to be fullness of joy in our lives. It's a result. This morning we must make sure we know and are living in the cause, that we might experience the result. And it all revolves around verse 5. Let's look at it. That's our focus verse, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. That's our key verse for this morning. That's the truth that I hope we all leave here understanding, living in, being all about, where Jesus declares, I am the vine. Let's pray. Father, we are so very thankful. You are faithful to us. You've poured out your love, your mercy, your grace on us, and we can gather in your love and know that all that you're doing is a result of your love. You desire fullness of joy for us. But for some, Lord, that's a foreign concept. For some of us, Lord, we've had it, but it's been fleeting. We've drifted. For some of us, Lord, truth be known, we're withered up branches, Lord. Help us. Help us this morning to hear what you would say to us. Father, thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you've moved upon the hearts of so many people that we might gather like this, Lord. I think you've moved upon the hearts of those to greet us. I think of the ushers, Lord, that you've touched. I think of the prayer partners. I think of the sound team. I think of our worship team, Lord. I think of the PowerPoint team. I certainly, Lord, just we thank you for our high school, junior high, and all the children's ministry workers. Lord, the list goes on and on. Tape library, everybody. Lord, you've raised all this up. It's just a vessel, though. It's a vessel so we might come and partake of you. Lord, it would be a sad thing if you did all that and we got up for some, getting the kids ready, rushing over. It'd be sad to do all that, Lord, to come and then come short of experiencing you. It'd be sad, Lord, to let distractions keep us from all you have. So, Lord, help us. Help us to truly hear, heart hear, what you would say to us. And then we might leave here closer, some things settled, living in you. Lord, lead us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's see what the text has for us, what the Lord has for us through his word here. Verse 1, I am the true vine, Jesus said. It's the seventh of his I am statements, the last one before he goes to the cross. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The example is clear. It doesn't take a lot to understand it. It's a well-known passage we've heard many times. An example is one that even if we haven't heard the text, we can readily grasp what he's saying. He's talking here, Jesus is talking about vines and branches. The idea, of course, here is a grapevine. Branches being equivalent to like a tree branch and the vine being equivalent to like a tree trunk. And he's talking about how the branches have to be connected to that which gives it life. It must be connected to the vine. If the branches are going to bear grapes, they must be connected to the vine. It is from the vine that the branches draw the nourishment and the material all it needs to bear fruit. There must be someone to tend the vineyard. There must be someone to tend the branches. If there's no vine dresser, then the branches and the vine, the branches will be prone to weeds and insects and drought and all. And there'll be little or no fruit. So Jesus is simply taking that illustration and making this a point, and he applies it to you and me. Now, according to the text, who is the vine? Jesus says he is. Verse 1, I am the vine, the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. So Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser. Now who's the branch? Verse 2, every branch in me. So all of this applies to anyone who's been born again. If you're not a believer, it has no application. But if you are, if you received of Jesus, then it's telling you that salvation wasn't the beginning and the end of the whole thing. It wasn't we got saved but then go on the shelf, but it was the beginning of a life of fruitfulness, bearing fruit for him. It was simply the attaching that's meant to begin to produce in us a healthiness, a fruit. Fruit unto him is the idea here. So, what is the deciding factor of whether the branch, us, will bear fruit or not? It's in verses 4 and 5. Let's look at it again. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We cannot bring forth fruit unto God without the indwelling power and presence of Jesus. Again, think of a healthy grapevine or a fruit tree. Maybe you're a little more familiar with fruit trees, apple trees, orange trees. It's the same idea here. Fruit is produced naturally on a healthy tree, right? If everything's working the way it should, if the roots are down deep in the soil, if there's enough nourishment and light being given to the grapevine or the fruit tree, then there will be fruit. Fruit is a natural byproduct of a healthy plant, tree, grapevine. It just is. If everything else is working the way it should, if the branch is attached in a healthy manner, there will be fruit. When's the last time you walked by an apple tree and heard the branch grunting? Trying to produce some fruit. Oh, I got to make an apple. Oh, man, I got to work, work, work. And yet too many believers think that's what it's about. I got to make fruit in my life. I got to cause it to be. But see, the tree, the grapevine, it's not focused on the result, on the apple or the grapes. Its concern, its focus, make sure I'm attached. Make sure the sap and all is flowing. Make sure the nutrients are coming through. It's worried about the source. It knows if it's, well, trees aren't conscious. But the idea is, if it is attached in a healthy manner to the trunk, to the vine, then fruit will happen. Do you have fruit? Spiritual fruit in your life. It's a good litmus test as to whether I'm abiding or not, how I'm doing in him. So we have to be honest this morning. God knows if there's fruit or not. He knows what nature the fruit is. It's not complicated. The example is easy to follow because the principle is easy to follow. There's a place that we need to be attached. The only place we can be attached that we will bear fruit, that we'll have fruitful lives. Jesus tells us, verse 4, abide in me and I in you. Now, to abide, of course, means to dwell somewhere. Say, where's your abode? Where do you abide? Well, it means where you live, where you dwell. But in this case, it's talking, of course, about us, our purpose for living, our focus, our what we're really all about. Where do I dwell spiritually? Where do I abide? It's being attached to the Lord in such a way that we draw our life from him, our wisdom, our strength from him. Our part, abiding. It means to surrender, to trust him. See, we often say things like, well, I believe in Jesus. And that's good if we mean it right. But too often I think people really, in the end, it means they think that their head believe. To receive Christ, it's almost better to use words like, I trust him for salvation. I've surrendered my life to him. I've signed over the title deed to him. Because that's the idea here. I'm looking to him and only him for who I am, for my life, my being. And notice that. It says, Jesus says, abide in me. Our Lord makes it very clear here that if we're going to have fruitful lives, it's not dwelling in, identifying with a religion, ceremony, rituals, routines, and some organization. That's not where I need to attach my branch. I will find no fruit attaching to those things. They will run dry. But we're to attach to, we're to abide in Christ is the call. And so I have a question for you, and that's what I want you to think about for a minute before we're off into our days of activities and fun and all. To what or to who are you trying to attach yourself in terms of what you draw your life, your purpose, your meaning from? To what are you trying to attach the end of your branch, so to speak? And I want to linger there a moment, because it's so important to think about. What are you really looking to? Now, here's a way to discover maybe what you're, not what you say, but what you're really trying to get purpose and meaning, where you're trying to attach it, is what's the driving passion of your life? What do you really think about? I mean, be honest with God. He knows. Are you more excited about the Charger game this afternoon than coming to church this morning? Be honest. Did you say, oh, I got to go to church. Hope it doesn't go too long. Because I want to get home to the Charger game, because that's really what you're about. Well, be honest. Or for some, maybe it's a career. If I just had that job. For some, it's a person. If I just had that relationship. Oh, if I could just be with him. If I could just be with her. If I could attach my branch to that relationship. Oh, I would have the peace and the joy. For some, it's power. For some, it's fame. For some, and you know this, not a big shock, it's physical pleasure. We live in a physical pleasure saturated society today, and it's trying to dupe you by telling you, oh, attach your branch to a physical sensation and then peace, joy. And so we see a world beckoning us to attach our branches all over the place. But where is yours? It's what you really look forward to the most. Again, be honest. You know what your mind really thinks about the most, what you really wish would happen, what you are trying to make happen all the time. Danger. It won't work if it's in anybody or anything other than Jesus. Our Creator knows how we were designed, and He's trying to tell us, because He loves us, only here are you going to find what you're looking for. So what do you really look to daily for your joy, your peace, your strength? Oh, there's things that give us, there are blessings and give us happiness along the way, and they have their place in our lives. I'm not saying to watch the Charger game is wrong. If there's not a nap in my afternoon, I probably will be too. But we can't look to those things. If you live for them, if they really what you're, it's the most dominant thing on your mind, then that's a warning. You need to attach that branch back where it belongs. Verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I have that highlighted in my Bible. I encourage you to do so. If not in your Bible, highlight it in your heart. Highlight it in your mind. Let this truth sink in. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. Nothing in terms of God. Without Him directing it, without Him authoring it, it will not be pleasing to Him. Oh, there's much that's really the work of man that they think are the fruits of God. But there's a difference, a great difference. Paul teaches us how to make sure we have fruit. Fruit that'll stand that testing fire. What fire? Long passage, but let's look at it. It's a good reminder. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds, lives, has their life be about, on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. These are analogies, of course. They're talking about what we do. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. That's a capital D there, the judgment day. I'll say more about that in a moment. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is, what it was about, what was the cause, what was the motive. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. This is not talking about salvation, as the last part of the verse says there. He himself will be saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved by receiving Christ as Savior. But for the believer, there's a testing coming, not for salvation's sake, but of our works, what we've done, to see what nature they were of. They'll go through a sort of fire, it tells us, and that which was done from Him, authored by Him, empowered by Him, then it will be like gold and silver, and it will withstand. But that which was done of self, and what was motivated by self, and it was simple, well, anything outside of what He would have, then it's wood, hay, and stubble, and it gets burned away. And we'll stand there with nothing to offer Him. See, if you want to hear well done, it'll be because you surrendered and let Him bear fruit through you. But Lord, didn't I do this for you, and didn't I do that for you? The Bible says there'll be people who are saying that. Well, didn't I do this for you? He says, I never knew you. What you did wasn't authored by me, empowered by me. That wasn't me flowing through your branch, making fruit. That was you doing it. So it's so important that we abide. And understand, it's only in abiding that we please Him. You can do things, just not eternal things. Just not things that will stand the fire. Would you have a life of purpose? Would you have a life of meaning? Do you want to get to the end of this life and be able to say a life well lived and here well done? Then abide in Him. Remember, it means be all about Him. Trust Him. Look to Him, not to yourself. When the world says go this way, you say, no, I'm looking to Him. When temptations come, you say, no, I'm doing it God's way. And you step by step walk with Him, spend time with Him, you live in Him. Then there will be fruit. It's just that simple. Because there's a flip side to this. We can do nothing, nothing of eternal value without Him, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The idea here is this, that. Apart from Jesus, nothing. Through Jesus, all things. Abide and you will bear fruit. Let's press on. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The purpose of bearing fruit in the end is to glorify God, it tells us. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. The goal is to glorify God. The way, of course, is to abide in Jesus, and you bear fruit. A healthy orchard, a healthy vineyard, is a testament to the vine dresser, right? You don't look at somebody's nice mowed cut lawn with the nice healthy trees and say, wow, that's great that the grass grew like that all by itself. That's great that tree just really just keeps itself a certain height and all rounded and shaped up. And all. You know it didn't do that. You don't look at a painting and go, wow, that's neat that the paint just kind of climbed up there and did that. That's pretty cool. No, you recognize there's an author. There's a gardener. There's a painter. You recognize that there's a vine dresser. And so when our lives bear fruit, if we're doing it by just spending time, abiding in Him, being about Him, that points to Him. People want to know. People want to partake of a vine dresser like that. Verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Last week we looked at John chapter 14. It was God's cure for a troubled heart. Remember He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. We talked about that real heart belief that calms a troubled heart, believing in Him. But Jesus doesn't stop there now in John 15. He goes beyond just not having a troubled heart, but how to have a fruitful life, how to have a joyful heart, to not just be not troubled, but to have joy. He starts out by saying, believe in me. Now in verse 4, He said, abide in me. And now verse 9, He says, abide in my love. See, believing plants the seed, but abiding causes it to grow. Abide in what? In my love. In His nature, His character, His purposes, His word. All those things He's about. Abide in His love. Oh, how often. How much we should hunger for. How much we should desire that. Just to soak in His love. To live in awareness of His love. Live in me, Jesus says, and live in my love. It's the one thing we all need. God's love. We were made to dwell in a loving relationship with God. Jude tells us, keep yourself in the love of God in the book of Jude. I wonder if your branch, if your life is withered, if you've been not keeping yourself in the love of God. How do I do this? How do we abide in His love? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Oh, man. He was doing so good. I just thought I could kind of cruise and do my own thing and just, He's going to love me and everything will be so good and I'll have this joyful life and peace and I'll get all the benefits. But what's this? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. No, man. See, some people hear that as a heavy thing, don't they? Oh, I got to obey Him. Interesting. We as parents understand the concept very well with our children. And remember, that example breaks down because we're imperfect. But the principle is, love, of course, wants what's best. Even when you tell your child, no, you can't put your finger in the light socket. No, you can't play in the street. I want to play in the street. No, you can't play in the street. You're so mean. Well, we understand that's not meanness, that's love. At least I think we do. Because God turns around sometimes and says, no, you can't do that. Oh, you're so mean. You don't love me. I want to be with that person. I want to do that thing. I want to go to that place. You're so mean. Understand? Weird, we can understand with our kids, but God says it, and we're thinking like, oh man, you're out to get me. No, He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. He's doing all this so we can have fullness of joy. But He says, the reality is, the key will be obedience. Because what is obedience? It's when God says, put your foot there, you do it. When He says, go there, you do it. He says, don't go there, you don't. Or whatever it is. When the world says, come here. And Jesus says, no, come here. You zip over to Jesus. Because that's just how it is. That's the place of blessing. That's the place of a joyful life. I didn't say trial-free. But in that place will be peace that passes understanding, fullness of joy as you discover and walk in His will. But it flat out says, if you keep my commandments. Jesus, in Luke 6:46, Jesus said, but why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not do the things which I say. This isn't a game. You can't do your own thing and then say, oh, I'm abiding. Don't play the game. It doesn't work. Just deceive yourself. And yet, you'll be a withered branch and wonder why. Will we be perfect in this? No, of course not. But we should be growing in our obedience factor. And it'll grieve us when we don't obey Him. Now look at the whole context. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus says, keep my commandments. What is His commandment? Love one another. Remember they asked Him, what's the law? What's the greatest law? And they declared, love God with everything you got and love one another. All the law, everything caught up in that. Love God with everything you got and love one another. And that covers the whole thing. And that's the commandment here. Love one another. So that's what He's saying. And then in verse 11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Why has Jesus said all this? That we might have joy. That we might have joy that remains and joy that is full. It's all for us. Our Creator is telling us how we can have a fullness of joy. How we can have fruitful lives. Matter of fact, it's the only way we can have it. So, do you have joy? You know. Do you have fullness of joy? Then look to where you've been trying to attach your branch. If you do not have fullness of joy. Now, let's be clear. What is joy? It's not an emotion. Happiness is an emotion. The world is into happiness. And in of itself, there's nothing wrong with happiness. Disneyland. got a sign, the happiest place on earth. Great, I love going there, spending a day there. And there are lots of events that come along that make us happy, and that's fine. It has its place, that emotion of happiness. But remember, happiness is an emotion, and it dwells in the land of circumstances. It varies. Happiness goes up and down. Someone gives you $1,000 check, and you are happy. The check bounces, and you are not happy. So it rides circumstances, and it has its place. We all have those blessings and happiness from a great day or something went well. It has its place, but don't attach your branch to those things. For joy is in the realm of the spirit. It's deeper than emotions. It's not rooted in circumstances. Joy is abiding because it's rooted in the eternal truth of God. His love for you, the price he paid for you, the fact that if you've received of that, you are heaven bound, that he's never going to leave you or forsake you, that he has plans, a good plan for you, that he's going to present you faultless before his throne someday. All these truths, they produce a joy, a peace that passes understanding. They're all fruits of the Spirit. Matter of fact, let's remind ourselves of those. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You can't work this stuff up. It's fruit produced from abiding. Oh, we try to. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to have more joy. You know, and we're going to pull up our bootstraps. And I'm going to be more loving. And we commit to being more loving on our own. And we make it maybe through breakfast. You know, you didn't yell at the kids for at least half an hour. But pretty soon you're on the freeway. You're going, you know, and, oh man. See, it's not a work. There's works of the flesh, but this is fruit of the Spirit. A result of abiding. You got to take that time and abide. Consider this. This portion of Scripture takes place during that last night before Jesus goes to the cross. And he's going to go to the cross for us. His earthly years of ministry are just about done. Up ahead stands the garden where he will pray and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood for you, for me. There will be mockings and beatings and scourging for us. And there will be the cross for us. And Jesus knows all of that is up ahead. Yet on this night, his thoughts are not on himself. His thoughts, his words here, they're on the disciples and on us. They are on how we might live and have fullness of joy and fruitful lives. Jesus is preparing them and us. He knows what's up ahead for them, and these are the things they'll need to know and do if they're going to make it. Same for us. This morning, if you're here and you're considering the claims of Jesus, but you've never received Christ as Savior, you've never personally done business with him, please hear this with love, but all this has nothing to do with you yet. This is all for those who are in Jesus, he said. Well, how do I get in Jesus? By inviting him into you. By heart surrendering you. By trusting him for your salvation. It's time. It's time for you to surrender to the only one who has real peace, real hope, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. This is not how you get saved. This is what a saved life is to be lived like. And so that makes us now turn to you, believer. You have received Christ as Savior. But let me ask you something. Was there a time in your life when you bore more fruit than you have been recently? Then let me in love ask you, what happened? If truth be told, you often look back, oh, I remember how I used to spend such time with him. Oh, I remember when I just couldn't wait for break time to read some of the Word. Couldn't remember to get home at night so I could get over to church or get to that fellowship. And do you tend to look at some place other than now as the high point of your life, spiritually speaking, spiritual fruit speaking? Then what happened? Did the cares of this world creep in and choke out? What happened? I guess there could be a myriad of answers to that. But the call is the same. Repent. Return to your first love. Get back to basics again and begin to bear fruit now. Fullness of joy and peace and all those things. Perhaps it's time for you this morning to give your heart back to the vine dresser. Maybe for others it's just time to let the Lord do some weeding and pruning. You know, if grapevines could talk, I suspect they probably wouldn't say, "Oh, gee, I sure like pruning. I sure like it when they cut away parts of me and get this clipper out and clip off this and carve away that." They probably wouldn't look forward to that. We don't look forward to the pruning times either, but don't take trials. Whenever you see somebody in trial, don't say, "Oh, they must have really sinned." You don't know. For He chastens those He loves. And oftentimes, even what you're going through now might be Him getting your attention. He's trying to carve out some unprofitable stuff. Because sin plugs up the pipeline with Him. It chokes out the vine's fruitfulness. And so He's got to get in there and get that out of the way. Let Him. It's time for you to come back and say, "Lord, I want this thing going full bore. I'm putting my hand, my heart, my life back in Your hands. Weed me, wash me, whatever it takes." And you know what practically it means? This. Do those things that you have experientially found draw you closer to the Lord. Time in the Word, time in prayer, time in fellowship, soaking yourself more in praise and worship music, whatever helps you see Him more and spend time with Him, not as ends in Himself, but as a means to know Him better. Get back to that. Whatever it was, whatever holy, good thing that God gave you, do it again. Get back to that again. Do you desire fruit? Not complicated. Live in, dwell in Him. Do you desire joy, fullness of joy? Abide in Him, in His love, in His words. See, anybody can do this, can't they? It's not a matter of intelligence, not a matter of your looks, not a matter of your pedigree. It's just a matter of choice. It's a choice we all make, and the ball is in your court. Where will each day find you? Where will each day find you hooking your branch? I pray it'll find us hooking into Him. "Abide in me," He says, "and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, dwells in me, looks to me, trusts in me, just rest in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." I pray each day will find us abiding in him. Let's stand. Do you need prayer for any cause? We would consider it a privilege to pray for you. There'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. Please, go get prayer. And of course, as I said, there's a place for family and fun and football and food and everything else. But what you're about, where you're attaching, what you're looking to, I just pray that as individuals and as a body of believers, the Lord will ever find us abiding in Him. That we may bear fruit to the glory of God. May we be fruitful gardens to the glory of God. So the question remains, where do you live? Father, I pray for myself and each one here. If in any way, if at any time, Lord, we're trying to attach ourselves, look to anybody or anything other than you, Lord, don't let us. Show us even now, Lord. Speak to us. Show us through what we're letting be our motivations now, if it's you or not. And Lord, how I pray indeed that what we said will be what we do, Lord. May we abide in you. May we truly be fruitful gardens unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.